And now, it's time for Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. For the next 2 hours, join Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Maxa, Corey Sandin, and this week's special expert guest for fishing information, new techniques to catch more fish, and the most current scoop on what's happening in the water. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup, and Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. Get ready for the fastest 2 hours on radio with the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Maxa, and Corey Sandin.
Good morning, anglers, and welcome to Let's Talk Hookup. I'm Pete Gray with Corey Sandin standing in for Ricky today, and we have a great show for you here from the world headquarters of Let's Talk Hookup here. Right next to the San Diego Landers in Point Loma, Steve Oropeza from Promar and Pablo Fernandez from Fernandez Charter is going to be a great show. Talking lobster today. Yes, it is that time of the year, so you stay tuned. This is Southern California's sport fishing voice. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app, Sports Grid Radio Network, and 1090 AM.
Inside information is everything when it comes to catching fish in Southern California. You need a code group to connect with what's happening on the water. FishDope.com is your code group. Inside information available at your fingertips 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. FishDope.com really does help you catch more fish and burn less fuel. FishDope.com is the only fish finding service with a spotter plane, along with a crew of top anglers on the water almost every day that report actual locations and catches. They become your code group. You get daily catch reports from Point Conception to San Quintin, 365 days a year. FishDope.com has online planning tools, temperature and chlorophyll charts, hot bite icons, and more. Take it from me, if you don't have FishDope.com, you're not part of the in-the-know crowd. Membership is affordable and good for an entire year. Plus, use the special code and save $30 on a new FishDope.com membership. Check it out today. FishDope.com. Catch more fish, burn less fuel.
Captain Jamie Tennis from Season Sport Fishing here. For the past few seasons, a dart-style metal jig has come into play in a big way for tuna offshore or even rockfish down deep. AFCO's crossbreed jig has quickly become the go-to for many since it came onto the market. AFCO's crossbreed jig is good to go right out of the package with a 4X treble hook, heavy-duty slit rings, West Coast colors, and sizes 60 gram to 120 gram. Pick one up today at your local tackle store or learn more on AFCO.com.
The Make It Ford Summer Sales event is on. Visit your San Diego County Ford dealers now and make it your best summer yet. Amazing offers and great selection of the best-selling trucks in America for 47 years. Ford F-Series, featuring gas, hybrid, or all-electric. These are deals you've been waiting for. So don't wait. Make it Ford. Make it yours. Make it now. Only at your San Diego County Ford dealers. They'll be glad to hook you up.
All right, good morning. Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup, and lobster season already.
I can't believe it, Corey.
I can't.
Wow, it's first day of fall.
Right, it is. Right, this morning.
So it's, fall comes lobster season, right?
Crazy.
Right, Steve?
That's right.
Great to have you.
Great to be here.
This is your time of the year, right, at Promar?
Exactly, We're getting geared up for this season. One more week on Friday, right?
That's right. Yeah, it's 6 p.m. on Friday, and there's a regulation there that the Department of Fish and Wildlife, Eric, yesterday mentioned, and I wasn't aware of it, but you were, that there's no more saying, oh, I'm actually fishing for crab.
That's
and putting
right.
your nets in, right?
I'm protecting my area.
So you could crab 365 days, so a lot of guys will try and take advantage on the opener and say, oh, I'm just crabbing. But now everybody needs to be aware that you cannot put your hoop net in the water for 24 hours before 6 p.m. on the 27th. So from the 26th at 6 p.m. to the 27th at 6 p.m., no hoop nets in the water unless you want to get a ticket.
Yeah. And they'll be watching.
Exactly.
He said yesterday they're going to be out in force, especially opening night.
California Fish and Wildlife love their spiny lobsters.
Yes.
So on that opener, you better bet they're going to be out there and looking for anyone who's not doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, and they've done an excellent job managing the resource too. That's why it's so good.
Exactly. Yeah. Especially, I mean, last year our neck of the woods, the Long Beach area, it was the best year probably in 10 years.
Wow.
And I know a lot of it has to do with these guys being out there enforcing the laws and making sure everybody's doing the right thing.
Yeah, for sure. So Pablo is one of your pro staff guys. Good morning, Pablo.
Good morning.
Yeah, great to have you. Go ahead, step right up to that mic. So you run a company called Fernandez Charters, right?
Yes, sir. We're out of Mission Bay, out of Seaforth in Mission Bay.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, I have a couple boats I run out of there. And one of the highlights is obviously being a pro staff member here with Pro Marahi.
Sure.
Steve takes care of me with all the equipment, all the supplies, everything needed for hoop netting and everything else for inshore, offshore fishing, everything.
Yeah, and so you fish mostly around Mission Bay?
I fish for
lobster?
Yeah, mostly for, I run out of Mission Bay for lobster, and then I do fish inside of the harbor, and I also have, of course, the honey holes outside of the harbor.
Uh-huh.
Between here and there, you know, between Point Loma and Mission Bay.
Sure.
And even further north. I mean, we all have our honey holes. We all have our favorite places to go, and just kind of maneuver around and go from spot to spot, and whatever's working, we just load up there.
Yeah, and so, and especially, we have, what, 5 days, is it, between the opening of commercial season and recreational season?
Yeah, I think it's, is it four?
It varies every year.
Yeah.
I think it depends on the survey, I believe, but typically it's around 4 or 5 days, about a week.
I think Eric Cord yesterday said 5 days, but that's at 6 p.m., right?
Right.
It's day
right.
one. So
right.
It's kind of, and then they bait the traps
The day before
the commercial guys can fish, right? So it's kind of, it's really
3.5 or 3 days.
So
you get Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, basically. So it is 4 days.
I kind of figured it's 4 days, and then I love those four
days. When your honey holes outside are really good, right?
I don't want to give away too much strategy here, guys.
Yeah, but no, I get it.
You have to take full advantage of those 4 days.
Yeah.
And we'll leave it right there.
Because once those commercial guys get baited up, it makes it a little tough out there.
Yeah, exactly. And then, but you know what? There's plenty. There's plenty of lobster out there.
Yeah.
And everybody says, oh, there's no lobster in Mission Bay. I'm like, oh.
Okay,
cool.
Yeah.
Right?
I know. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
So, and then, of course, you do regular charters, too, for Coronado Islands, Catalina, offshore, whatever, right?
Yeah, we do it all, inshore, offshore, even inside of Mission Bay, you know, going after whatever, halibut, spotties, and all kinds of fun stuff. But, yeah, we like to do La Jolla, Point Loma, Coronado Islands. It's so easy, and it's such a fun trip.
Yeah.
I do that.
Especially this year.
Yeah, probably 85% of my trips are Coronado Island trips.
Nice. Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah, and then I also do guide service for Dave Hansen.
Dave.
And that's one of our, so I know Dave's been here in the last few months, and I dropped him off actually one time. And, so that's been a huge blessing too, just getting involved with him and doing the guide service. And I've forged some friendships through that. And I actually met Steve through doing all that stuff. So, hats off to Captain Hansen.
Yeah,
all that.
Dave's a great guy for sure. And big Promar supporter, of course, as we are too. But so what's new at Promar?
So this year we have new seal-proof bait cages. So in the past few years, we've had our kind of staple, the white one there with the PVC and the holes and everything. And over the last few years, we've got a lot of requests for something that was a little bit more camouflage from the sea lines to prevent them from seeing them down there. So we did something with...
Did you bring one?
I didn't.
Oh,
actually.
Okay. Yeah. Show and tell here.
We can draw you a picture.
We've been trying to get them done as fast as possible, but they don't arrive actually until tomorrow. We'll have them, so they'll be ready after tomorrow. Unfortunately, I didn't have one today.
Along the same lines as what's available, but they're more camouflage.
Not only that, but I don't know if you guys. I know you use them, Pete.
I do.
Pablo uses them, but one thing that I've found when I'm using them is the clip is sometimes a little difficult to handle when you're wearing gloves.
Yes.
So we made the clip bigger.
Oh, perfect.
So if you're wearing gloves, they're a lot easier to clip on and off.
Especially if you're using the heavy.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that heavy has a big ring on the bottom, so these clips are big, and they'll be able to handle that thicker ring. And then also, if you're wearing gloves when you're doing it, it makes it really easy to clip them on and clip them off.
Oh, that's
so
great news.
So the clips have been upgraded, and then the color is also upgraded in that camouflage Promar blue.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so it's going to be a lot better for you guys when you guys are being harassed.
Which is pretty... It's
common.
The standard, right?
what a part
of the game.
What a pain. I mean, how in the heck do you, you want fresh bait, right?
Yeah.
Because that attracts a lobster, but then again, it's also like,
yeah,
it's attracting the... the fur, as we could say.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much you can do. Those things are protected. I mean, we can't really do much. All we can do is just hope that our lobsters get in there before the sea lions do.
Yeah.
And try to do everything that we can to make that happen.
So, speaking of fresh bait, when you're hooping, yeah. I know you're an avid hooper, how often do you change your bait? Or do you refresh your bait, shall we say?
It depends. Early in the season, I actually don't even have to refresh my bait for the most part. Early in the season, within the first set, if I'm by myself, I for sure get a limit. And if I bring one of my buddies, then maybe we'll get a limit on our first set, first uh-huh. 10 hoops.
Wow.
If not, then in the second set. But typically, I don't have to redo the bait too often.
Nice.
Later in the season, as things slow down as far as the crawl, I'll make sure to bring enough bait so that I can rebait all my hoop nets, my 10 hoop nets, at least two times. So I'll probably bring enough bait to do 30 bait cages, seal-proof bait cages.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'll be able to rebait all my hoops three
times. So by you just load all at the beginning, and then so you don't waste time rebaiting, you're just like changing it out.
Exactly, yeah. I have 30 seal-proof bait cage in a cooler. Typically, I have two coolers, and they're already pre-packed. And what I typically do is the morning of when I'm planning on going hooping, I'll go to the bait barge, buy a bunch of sardines. I may fish for a little bit inside the harbor there, drift for halibut or whatever. Come back to my slip. That's when I process all my bait for that night, get all my seal-proof bait cages filled, throw them all in my cooler. Maybe go get some lunch or dinner and then come back and then go out. And then I have everything ready. I just snap them in, drop my hoop nets, and I'm ready to go.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pretty slick. Promar just makes it so easy. I mean,
try.
You change the game.
Yeah.
Like completely. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And that's, you kind of on the same wavelength there, Pablo?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we all do it the same and we all do it just a little bit different, right? We all have our little tweaks, but... Yeah, I agree. In the beginning of the season, it's not as important to... But you always got to check your bait, too, right? Because if you pull it up and it just looks like... Obviously, if it's loaded and they've been getting hammered, then it's a great idea to switch them out. Or you can just, if it's they've been taken down a little bit, just get some fresh and stuff it in there. I like going to the bait barge. We usually show up 2 hours before we're going to go, and then we go to the bait barge, we get our stuff. And I'll just leave it in the bait tank until we're ready to go. And then an hour before we're going to pick up the clients, we just start, you know, processing them, stuffing them, and we get them all ready to go. It seems like they really, really like that, the fresh dead.
Yes.
They really dig that fresh dead. So, and back to the seal-proof bait traps or cages that we have, it's really important to understand. If you put a salmon head, and sometimes I get it, sometimes... Up north, they don't have the ability to just go get fresh bait, right? Last year, they ran out several times.
Yeah.
But down here, we're pretty fortunate. But when you have to try other stuff and you're it's just tying stuff in there, remember, those sea lions, they can see really well. And if they see a salmon head in there or any kind of carcass in there, they're going to get in there. And not only are they going to destroy your bait, they're probably going to destroy your cage.
Yeah.
Or your hoop net. You know, they just get in there and they just thrash around.
And that's the whole thing. They're not in there to eat the lobster.
No.
But their nose in there trying to get to the bait, as you're mentioning.
Right.
Just scares everything out.
And,
you know?
And I can tell you for a fact that they go down and they check it out. And I can see them going from... hoop net to hoop net, just looking, just like a diver, right?
Yeah.
You're like, hey, bro, okay, is this why one you in, got a dive right here?
It's like, is this guy the Promar? No.
Yeah.
This guy
yeah.
does? Yeah. yeah. Okay, we're going to leave that one alone. Now we're going to go to this guy that doesn't have the Promar one.
they might not recognize the Promar, but they definitely recognize whether it's a fish carcass or if it's, you know, a cylinder.
Cause
they,
yes.
You know, they've tried,
they're
right?
smart.
They're probably the same one season after season.
Oh, sure.
So they understand. They're dogs. They're not that dumb. They're dumb when they want to be, right?
Yeah.
But, I've had nothing but good experiences with the seal-proof bait cages. So
and with the new improvement, I love it, man, because that's the only... I'm sure you get input from fishermen, because you are too.
Yeah.
You get the bigger clip, and now it's going to be even simpler to unclip and clip back in.
Exactly,
yeah.
That's and the color, too, because a lot of times we're super shallow here if we're fishing inside the harbors.
Yeah.
So the nice dark color makes a big difference, too.
Ah, okay. So when you're fishing different depths,
how do you adjust your lines? You use different lines. How do you do that?
So it really depends on what I do is I like to preset them. If I know if I'm just going to go inside the harbor, I have everything preset. That way I don't have to mess around with anything.
Yeah.
But I believe we all rig the same. I know how Steve likes to rig and Justin Betrell up north, and we all do pretty much the same thing where we run our line through the buoy,
right,
and then we have a clip with a weight on it. So yeah. It
which Promar makes,
yeah,
right?
Promar makes. Right on those are available and must have. I mean, you can try whatever you want, and that's cool, but these are super easy.
They are.
And
you don't have to have the buoys now with that system.
Right.
You don't have to have the buoys together with the lines. You can add the buoy later, right?
Right. Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And what's nice about that system, too, is it always takes your extra line that would be floating and be a hazard not only to you but to other boaters in the area, and it takes it straight down.
Right.
And it always enables the buoy to move with the rise and flow of the tide or currents or anything else. And it's a great setup. But on that other end, that's where you can just wad up your extra line. You can either zip tie it or just do, if you want a quick release, there's all kinds of things you can use for a quick release, any kind of bands or anything like that. But if I'm going, let's say if I'm just going inside of Mission Bay, I have them all preset to a certain whatever depth. Let's just say it's 35 feet, 40 feet, whatever you think is the best. I mean,
gotcha.
You don't need to go much more than that. And then I secure it really good, and I know we're not going deeper.
Yeah.
Now, if I'm going out and about, and I'm exploring those honey holes that we talked about earlier, now I'm going to change it up a little bit, and the only way I'm going to change it up is make sure, instead of having zip tied and all crazy to where I have to cut everything, I'll use more like bands or something, and I have like the full length of what potentially is the longest or the deepest depth that we're going to go. And then I just make that adjustment as we get there. I'll meter around. I find our secret spot, our honey hole. I'll meter around. I'm like, okay, this is what we need. And then we'll just quickly make that adjustment. And they're instantly ready to go.
So describe those clips, the Promar. It's a weighted clip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Essentially what it is we all know what a long line clip is, right?
Right.
So it's essentially a long line clip, and then it has a big swivel on the opposite end of where you clip it to that is connected to a 6-ounce or a 12-ounce lead sinker.
Okay.
And you can quickly clip that onto, I like to do just a simple loop knot on the end of my line, clip that onto the loop knot, and it sinks out that extra.
So what do you mean? Describe a loop, the loop knot.
Just so overhand loop, basically, just
a loop
on the opposite side. That way, there's a loop there that I can just clip that onto. Because lots of times, if you just clip it straight onto the line,
it'll slide.
It'll slide, exactly. Yeah. So you just, I like to create a
loop. An overhand knot.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and then
clip it in the loop.
Yes.
Or clip it above the loop.
In the loop is what I like to do.
Uh-huh.
And the nice thing about doing that too is that you can remove it when you're pulling up that you're pulling up your hoop net.
Yeah.
Rather than taking that slack end, the tag end rope line, and just throwing it on the boat and beating your boat up with that sinker if it's zip tied on, like most people like to just zip tie an 8-ounce sinker or a 6-ounce
right.
sinker. Well, when you bring that on, you just unclip it, and now you don't have to worry about that sinker messing up your deck and messing up your gel coat on your boat. You just remove it, throw it in a bucket that's right next to your feet is the way I do it, and then I bring all my line in. Because at that point, you don't need that sinker on your line anymore.
Right.
And it's a little bit, it's a safety thing also, so you're not swinging that rope over and hitting somebody with that sinker, but then you're also not beating up your boat.
It's a really good concept, for sure.
Yeah.
Now, you also have brought some props.
Yeah.
You brought one of your nets, right?
Yeah.
And some new stuff, right?
Absolutely, yeah. So I brought a Standard 32.
All
which
right.
is the original Ambush hoop net that we did, the
okay.
very first one, just because I didn't want to bring a big old 36, but we have four different size hoop nets now, everything from our original 32 inch, and then we have our 36 inch XL, which is basically the same weight. So our 32 is about 5.5 pounds,
uh-huh.
And our 36 XL is 6 pounds, which is just the same gauge wire, only about 4 inches wider on the ring down below, so there's a little bit more volume. And I always recommend the 32 for anyone who's on a small boat or a kayak because it saves space. And then if you're hooping on a bigger boat or even a medium-sized boat, you can jump up to a 36. We don't really care about how much space these things take care of, take up on your boat. You can jump up to a 36. And then from there, we have our heavier versions, which are our XLH, which comes in at 13 pounds, and then our XLHD, which comes in at 23 pounds.
Whoa.
Yeah, so if
that's heavy.
Yeah, if
fishing
Catalina, fishing anything over 150 feet and strong currents, that XLHD, that 23-pounder, is probably what you're going to want. But if you're fishing that, then you're probably going to want an electric puller on the boat.
Yes, and I've got the Ace.
Wait, why don't I hold it up and you can talk about it, Pete. Hang on.
Corey's going to... This is show and tell time here. So this is the Ace Line Hauler. Yeah, we can see it. And this is the Brutus 40 made by Ace Line Hauler. You can get those at certain tackle shops, have them, and also at acelinehauler.com. This thing, it's like... Once you go Ace, we have a saying on my boat. Once you go Ace, you never go back. Because once you start, especially when you're fishing deep like a Catalina or some of the deeper spots in the bays or stuff like that, this makes life so much easier and quicker, everything about it. And so especially when you, if you're not young guys like you guys, you know, or you have a youngster on the boat pulling nets, you need one of these here. There's no doubt about it. The Ace Line Hauler really is a saver. You basically just plug it in to a Marinco plug. You can buy a Scotty base and put it right into your rod holder, and you're good to go.
So easy.
So highly recommended.
Absolutely.
There.
I got to get my hands on one of those for sure. Those are pretty awesome.
They're.
Hey, from the way I hoop netted, this is
for sure
commercial style.
Well, I've had this Brutus for, I'm going to say I've had it for 10 years.
Wow.
They don't break.
Oh yeah,
they're durable.
I know you're going to have people inquire about that.
Yeah,
because it's silly how easy that really makes.
Oh,
it.
Oh yeah, yeah, and it collapses down. That arm comes off. You can also get an extended arm for bigger boats, like Pablo was talking about it, and it collapses right into a bag, and it makes life easy.
And if you do happen to lose something on it, I can speak from experience, if you happen to lose one of the arms overboard or something, it's so easy to just order a replacement online.
Yeah, they're super good people up there. They're based in British Columbia, but they do have some dealers around, so you can buy them direct from acelinehauler.com or from one of the local dealers in Southern California. So you also have some other accessories in the hoop too. The Promar makes pretty much everything you need to go lobstering.
Absolutely.
And, so that's the non-seal proof bait. King, right.
This is the old school. This is kind of the first thing that everybody learned with when they started hoop netting. And then I think in 2015, around there, is when we came out with our seal-proof bait cage.
Yeah.
Prior to this, it was all about the steel wire bait cages. People still use them. I actually still use them when I'm fishing areas or if I notice areas that there's very low, which is basically nowhere now, but there's very low sea lion population.
Yeah.
I actually prefer these because it's easier for the lobsters to get into them, easier for that scent trail to get out of it, escape, and dissipate.
And then little skin fragments, like little pieces come off, and they're feeding in there. So there is like a positive.
Yeah, absolutely.
But not for the fur.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we've had...
Because they'll crush those. They'll get in those things and rip the thing apart.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's not a problem for them to
just break. Just leave your 300-pound dog to try to get in them. Yeah. I mean, come on.
Exactly. So we've actually set up GoPros in our hoop nets, and we've done tests and experiments to just see what the difference as far as productivity is on each one. And these are actually really good, and right away you start seeing sand dabs show up in there and just fish, bay bass, stuff just come in and start picking at the bait, which is really good because you're getting...
It's creating activity.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're creating activity, and there's definitely a stronger scent trail. However, as soon as that dog gets on them, it's game over.
And when those fish start picking and things start happening, like even the eels, when things start getting in there, the particulates in the water, and their antennae pick up on that, hard.
It causes a frenzy.
Like, literally, they're swimming toward it fast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. Well, we have more show and tell, too, but you can hear you. We have a lot to talk about this morning with the Promar guys.
And if you want to join us, a couple ways to do it. 213-432-1090 is the telephone number. JP's waiting on the other. Is it JP this morning?
That's right. JP's on the board.
The one and only, the best.
Yep.
Waiting on the other side. Our guardian angel, as we call them. And so 213-432-1090 is the number. Or you can text us via the app. That's only done through the app. And by the way, if you missed, like, yesterday's show.
Yeah.
With Eric Cord and Craig Schumann.
Yeah.
And
Ken Franke, yeah. It was really good.
You got to go back and listen.
Yeah. You can check that on the audio portion on the Let's Talk Hookup app. It's available to download. It's available, of course, on our YouTube and Facebook Let's Talk Hookup Radio Show as a podcast or a video pod. Would you call it a video podcast? Is that what you would call it?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's either audio or video podcasts are available on all the shows.
So again, having Steven here from Promar and Pablo from Fernando's Charters, and you want to give us a call, 213-432-1090. We're giving away $100 to Ahi Promar.
Two of them.
Yeah. So one for a caller, one for a texter.
Yeah.
Two. We don't have to flip the coin.
It's a gift card that you can just go on promarahi.com, right?
Yep.
And just order whatever you want.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be lobster items. It could also be fluorocarbon, our new GT4 fluorocarbon. It could be wine on leaders, jigs, whatever you guys want.
Yeah, your Ahi jigs are pretty awesome.
Yeah,
they work.
How cool is that? Well, you're listening to Southern California Sport Fishing Voice. We're going to be right back on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Hey, this is Rosie with Cedro Sport Fishing. We have always been the leader with all-inclusive fishing trips to Cedros Island. We now have two lodges to choose from and both sit on the cliff set with relaxing ocean views and gorgeous morning sunrises. With direct flights departing for the CBX in San Diego, we are committed to providing first-class service to our guests and an unforgettable fishing experience. Come check out the Yellowtail and Calico Bass Capital in the World. Nobody does it better than Cedros Sport Fishing. Call me at 619-772-7570 or check us out at cedrosportfishing.com. Book soon. Trips are going fast.
All of us at the American Angler family want to express appreciation to our regular passengers that fish with us year after year and to the new anglers that came out this last season. We realize how precious your vacation time is, and we are truly grateful that you have chosen to spend this time with us. It's important that your experience is memorable from the moment you call the office to the time you step off the boat. Hi, I'm Lori. Call me at the office, 619-223-5414, or check us out at AmericanAnglerSportFishing.com. Come fishing with the American Angler family and make a memory.
Many years ago, Baja pioneer Bob Van Wormer found the area he called the Great Fish Trap in the East Cape of Southern Baja and built what is now regarded as the premier East Cape resort of Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Today, following in their father's footsteps, Bob's sons, Bobby, Chucky, and Eddie, have taken Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol to new levels with the largest sport fishing fleet in Mexico, a luxurious spa, and top-of-the-line resort amenities. Van Wormer resorts have become a destination for travelers worldwide. But for us, Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol are just a short two-hour flight away. No other tropical fishing destination offers the experience and value that you'll find at Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Now you can plan your Baja fishing vacation quick and easy by visiting VanWormerResorts.com. And when you're ready to book, it's quick and easy. Or simply call 877-777-TUNA for more information. Van Wormer Resorts, the East Cape's finest.
The name that stands out among anglers is Fisherman's Landing, your top choice in local and long-range fishing. Hi, this is Doug Kern. Our hard-working crew will make sure your fishing experience is one to remember. We offer the finest open party trips from 1 to 3 days, the best charter boats available, and of course, our world-renowned long-range fleet is second to none. Fisherman's Landing is a full-service operation offering great half-day trips on the Dolphin and full-day open party trips on the spacious and comfortable Liberty. Since we introduced the full-day trips at Fisherman's Landing, the 85-foot Liberty has become a favorite among full-day operations with bunks for your comfort, huge bait capacity, and RSW fish holds to keep your catch fresh. Plus, Liberty has a big modern galley and two interior heads with showers. All our open party trips from half-day, full, or 1 to 3 day trips can easily be booked online at fishermanslanding.com or give us a call at 619-221-8500. I'll see you at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
All right. welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup, and having Steve from Promar and Pablo from Fernandez Charters in studio talking lobster fishing. Man, so
yeah.
Hard to believe.
It's Friday, 6 p.m. It's a big opener.
Yeah. And if you didn't catch the beginning, there's the changes that Eric Cord had mentioned yesterday. You can't protect your spot at noon waiting for 6 p.m. There's no gear in the water until 6:01.
Right. Yep. That means also, like, I know a lot of guys like to throw their hoop nets without bait in the water just to hold their spots. You can't do that either.
Right.
Yeah, you have to wait until 6 p.m.
I wonder how many citations are going to be given for people not paying attention.
Here's
a lot.
Thing. None of us like more laws
sure.
But
that's a good one.
This is a good one.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Especially for us that like the hoop, and it's just a lot of guys bend the rules to their advantage.
And you don't need to. The lobster last year was so good.
Yeah.
And the last few years it's been really good, so you don't need to do that.
Where's your favorite zone to fish?
Believe it or not, I do most of my fishing inside Long Beach and San Pedro Harbor.
Popular.
It's really popular in there, but usually the first month, all of October, is usually crazy.
Yeah.
And then after that, it's not rare to be out there by yourself.
Yeah.
And
it's a big harbor.
Oh yeah.
Versus San Diego, it's like there's not a lot of, and Mission Bay the same. Not a lot of room, right?
And there's a lot of structure. I mean, there's a lot of jetties, a lot of rock walls in there where lobsters like to hide. I mean, we got the big old federal break wall. I mean, that's really good.
Yeah.
And so you're mentioning rock and you're mentioning pylons and all the structure, and Pablo being in Mission Bay, people don't realize that they live in the eelgrass.
In
eelgrass. Well, I mean, we realize that, but a lot of people don't. The eelgrass,
they don't need rocks.
No, they don't. The eelgrass is a sanctuary for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. I've talked to divers that really like to dive on eelgrass, and they look from there. Unfortunately, up in our area, there's not a lot of eelgrass inside the harbor, but down here, I know there is a lot of eelgrass.
Watch out.
We may just gave it up. Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry, Pablo.
Let's switch subject.
No. Yeah. No, so continuing really the show and tell here, the Promar gloves are perfect. They're made for lobster fishing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have, I personally prefer using these types of gloves. For those of you that are listening, it's our latex grip gloves. There's a lot more dexterity in the fingers.
Absolutely.
I know that when you're pulling rope, when you're pulling line, especially if it's half-inch line, you want to be able to grip that line as you're pulling it up. You don't want it to slip, because then if it slips, then you can potentially lose some lobsters in your hoop net. But I personally prefer those. We also have some insulated gloves that keep your hands nice and warm. A lot of people prefer those as well. But these are my favorite. They're lightweight. They got really good dexterity. They have a nice vinyl or latex coating. So when you're handling those lobsters, they're called spiny lobsters for a reason, right? So we know that they have some sharp points on them.
Oh, yeah.
And you want to wear some gloves when you're handling those things, because they can tear up your hands.
Yeah, that rubber grip feels nice.
No, they work. And the thing about the spiny lobsters is you think, oh, well, I have tough hands. Well, the problem is they have a lot of bacteria.
Yeah.
And so if they penetrate you, man, your hands are going to be messed
up.
Yeah,
you can get an infection.
Take it from experience, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, the lights, too, the Promar lights are really, really cool.
Yeah, so this is something, I mean, we've hammered on this for years and years, and people still call us and ask us, hey, what's so special about your lights? So with our lights, we have two different lights. We offer the chemical light sticks, which is, you know, everybody knows what a chemical light stick
you
is.
You break it, the chemicals mix. And,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then we have our LED light sticks, and I'm trying to open this.
Yeah, they're protected so that you can pull a tab and then they're activated.
So that
the
batteries never die while it's being stored. But the nice thing about these LEDs is there's two settings on these. So as I'm doing my first set, I'll set it to a flashing mode. So I'll have 10 hoops in the water, 10 floats in the water, and then you'll see 10 flashing lights. Now, what can happen as you're doing this set is you kind of lose track. If you don't have a good organized system of which one was the first one you put in the water to the last one you put in the water, you kind of lose track of how long each one's been soaking. So what I like to do is I like to use the flashing setting or the solid setting. It doesn't really matter. But if I'm starting off the night and I start with the flashing setting, then I'll have 10 flashing lights. And as I work my way through my set, starting with the first one that I put in the water, the one that's been soaking the longest, then I'll switch over to a solid setting. So now I'll have that one solid and 9 flashing. So I know that I don't have to touch that solid one anymore. I can move on to the flashing one. And that helps me keep track as I progress through my set.
really good.
Which ones need to be soaking longer? Which ones have been I've rebaited or checked already?
Super slick makes
it really easy.
Super slick, and it's legality too, right? Like each buoy has to be
lighted.
Yeah, lighted. Yeah. You also have to have your Go ID on there. Things have changed a little bit with the Go ID.
Fortunately,
really good.
So how did that? Because I think that was last year, right?
We talked about it last year, where every Go ID and each person could only be limited to 5 floats with their Go ID number on there. So if you're fishing 10 and you had a buddy on the boat, basically 5 floats had to be your Go ID and 5 floats had to be
designated to somebody else.
Yeah, and you couldn't pull up the other person's Go. It was really complicated, but luckily, thankfully, they figured that out and they said, no, you don't have to do all that. We'll just make sure that one person on the boat, whoever, if it's 3, 4, 5 of you guys, just make sure one of your guys' Go ID is on there.
All of them.
All of them.
Right.
But everybody needs to have their lobster card, obviously.
Yes.
And that's another important thing is no matter who you are, what you're doing, you could be under the age of 16, you could be fishing from a pier. You know, anyone who's under the age of 16 doesn't need a fishing license. However, if they're hooping for lobster, they do need a lobster card.
Everybody, no matter what
exactly.
Age.
Exactly. If you're fishing from a pier, you don't need a fishing license, but you do need a lobster card if you're hooping from a pier.
And one thing our DFW guys mentioned yesterday is get it now, because a lot of times places will run out of paper because they're so long.
Yeah.
And you go, okay, I'm going like in an hour, and sorry, we're out of paper.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And But in the last year...
Because it lasts for the season.
Yeah, exactly.
You buy it once and it's for the season.
It's good until March. So you buy it now, October 24 or September of 2024, and it's good until March of 2025 when the season is over. And also one thing to note is that in the last year, we've been very fortunate that now we can actually get our fishing license on the app on our phone, so we don't have to carry our fishing license paper. However, the lobster card, you need the physical paper on you. You can't say, I'm just going to use that new Fish and Wildlife app where I see my fishing license. You can't do that. You need to have
to fill it out.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to fill it out.
You got to follow the regs because they watch it.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's jump into the phones, and the techs are jumping in. They all want to win a $100 gift card to Promar Ahi.
I know. And if you want to give us a call, 213-432-1090 or text us via the app, we're going to talk to Robert. Robert calling from Canyon Country. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning, guys. So I understand that you have to mark the buoy or you have to do your Go ID. What is the deal? What do you have to do?
So do you want me to?
Yeah, go for
hey,
it,
Pablo. Hey, Robert, this is Pablo. How you doing, buddy? So what you got to do is you have to put your Go ID.
Which is your number on your license.
It's your number on your license by the California Department of Fish and Wildlife. Everyone's issued a number. So you put your Go ID on the buoy, and then you can also number your buoys just for your own. So you know, 1 through 10 or whatever, something like that. But what's mandated is you have to put the Go ID on it. And that's number issued to everybody that has a California fishing license.
So you as captain, now with the new regulation or the revised regulation, you can put all your Go ID on all 10 of the floats.
Yeah, that's correct. And then, you got to put the Go ID on every single one of the floats.
Yes.
They all have to be labeled. And it doesn't have to be huge, but you know, make them legible. Just use a nice, you know, permanent marker. Make them legible, and that's the best way to do it.
Yep.
So typically what I like to do, since, you know, I own 10 hoop nets, I take buddies, you know, it varies on who I take every time. But,
and they're always on your boat, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So my 10 have just my Go ID. Go ID number. I don't have to worry about putting, you know, if my buddy is coming with me, they don't have to worry about putting their Go ID numbers. As long as my Go ID number is on all of them, then we're good.
All right, very good. Hey, thanks a lot for the call this morning. That does free up 213-432-1090. JP standing by. I have a great text here from John in Mira Mesa. He says, for bait, I hear different opinions that you guys swear by. Fresh sardines, salmon heads, mackerel sprayed with a scent. What's your opinion on bait, and does it really make a difference?
Yeah, I think it does. I think we talked about that a little bit in the beginning of the show, but for me, it's fresh dead. For me, I'm going to the bait barge right before I go out. I'm getting a scoop of bait. I'm going to make sure I have enough for the whole evening. And then I'm using the fresh dead. And we have a lot of different techniques on how to prepare the fresh dead to put in our seal-proof bait cages. But for me personally, it's It's whatever the bait barge has. If it's sardines, anchovies, it's going to be mostly sardines and anchovies. And we just prepare those fresh dead and put them in our seal-proof bait cages.
Do you chop them up? Do you cut them?
Yeah, we do. We have a few different ways to do it. But, yeah, basically we want to get them chopped up. You don't want to get it into a complete slurry mush to where it's, you know, just a paste, but you want it chunky. You want it chunky and bleeding so it's attracting them. But they do have those, you know, their feeler antennas, and they do sense electrical impulses, so they can tell when something's freshly dead.
Yeah. All right.
Man, there's so much to it.
Yeah. You have good text, all right?
I do, and it's kind of along the same lines as a bait, but it's a different angle here. Good morning, guys. Can't believe we are already looking at lobster season. Is there some good literature online about bait regulations? I've heard that tuna and other scraps from our catch is possibly illegal to use. My favorite bait is fresh mackerel. That catch between sets, but it's not always an option. Thanks, and that's from Rory in Lakeside.
Yeah, so we do have on, if you go to promar.com, there's a lobster resources page.
So is it promarahi, or you can go to promar, promar.com?
Either way. It's actually promarahi.com, but whatever you plug in, it'll take you right to our website.
Great.
But we do have a lobsters resources page on our website. So if you go on our website, you can go to the lobster resource page, and on there you're going to find a bunch of vlogs, a bunch of videos, a bunch of blogs that talk about all the regulations and stuff. We don't like to be an authority in regards to regulations. We like to direct everyone to the California Fish and Wildlife website. And we really, you know, it's your job as an angler to know the laws when you're going out there. So we want to make sure that everybody's up to speed on those laws before they put a hoop net in the water. However, give us a call. Sometimes it's a little difficult to find stuff on their website. So if you guys can't find the information that you're looking for on their website, give us a call and we'll shoot you the link. Typically, we have those links already pre-saved. You know, if somebody has a question in regards to what type of bait they can use or whatever and they can't find it on Fish and Wildlife, we already have that link saved. So you give us a call, you give us your email, and we'll send you the link where it'll tell you exactly what you're looking for on the Fish and Wildlife website.
There it is. Okay. And there are some set in stone, like if you like to use bonito.
Yeah.
Like you're only allowed 5 bonito under that whatever the fork length, 24 inch or whatever it is. Don't take my word, but look at the site. You're only allowed 5.
Yeah.
So you can't have
like a whole bunch of bonito.
Thank you.
Exactly. Now what about like if you have stuff that's freezer burned or something like that? Are you is it legal to use like old tuna?
Technically, no. From what I've gathered and talking to wardens and different people in Fish and Wildlife, I'll stop by. Usually, what I like to do at every Fred Hall or Barha or PCS show, I'll stop by the Fish and Wildlife booth and I'll just ask them questions and
right.
I'll let them know who I'm with and kind of what we're doing. But for the most part, the easiest thing to do is just avoid using any type of fish that has limits as bait. So tuna, yellowfin, Dorado, yellowtail, all that stuff. Even though, you know, we can't do anything with the carcasses after we fillet them, technically you shouldn't have or you shouldn't be using that as bait, because if you have multiple pieces of yellowfin or yellowtail in your bait cages, you have 10 bait cages, how is a warden supposed to know that you only had your limit that night?
Yeah.
They won't know. I mean, it's just...
So are there different regulations for the commercial guys? Because pretty much all of them use
it all goes.
Scraps from the processors, right?
I would think so. There's different limits to the commercial guys, too. So that also has a lot to do with it.
You know what? There's so many different things, right, Pete?
Right.
But I think it's all in how you treat the officer.
Right.
I mean,
exactly.
How far do you want them to go down the list, right?
Right.
Because technically, I don't know if you guys know, but legally, you're not supposed to have more than 50 sardines on the boat.
Yeah.
Unless you can show the receipt that you paid for it.
Oh, okay.
Do you ever see that?
No.
And when's
never.
When's the last time you got a receipt at the vape bar?
That's what I said.
Well, every single time.
Yeah. They do offer it to you now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they do. They'll ask it. But I'm just...
Pretty interesting.
It is.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, some really good stuff here, and we're learning a lot here, too. But one of the things that we learned yesterday from Eric Cord and our DFW show yesterday is there's a lot of interpretation by the officers. So if you're, like Corey says, you speak well to them, you treat them with respect. I have a feeling that they're not going to cite you for having a bunch of fillets of tuna on, that's old on the boat. I just don't.
Yeah,
I don't see that happening.
And also, you know, let's make it easy for them.
Yes.
Because for me, I have all my documents in order all the time. I have all the cards together.
Right.
I have all the licenses together.
Yep.
I welcome them aboard. I don't, you know, I'm not trying to hide anything. The more open and transparent you are with them, least likely they are to, like, dig around your boat and do, you know, crazy things. But let's make it easy for them. They're doing a job. I'd rather have them going and checking out the sketchy guys than dealing with me for an hour for no reason.
Absolutely.
So
for
make it easy for them.
Want to mention some great trips coming up. Then I can't believe with the way the yellowfin tuna fishing down below has been, I can't believe there's some openings. On the Royal Star, they have an October 5th trip that has three openings. They have an October 22nd trip and a November 6th trip that has a couple of openings. Unbelievable time. Probably the best ever yellowfin tuna fishing down south on these boats. And then, of course, our Let's Talk Hookup Shogun trip still has a couple of spots left. It's now a 7-day instead of a 6-day. That's leaving on the 21st of October. So Ron Lane will be hosting that trip. But for the Royal Star, check RoyalStarSportFishing.com, or for the Shogun trip, check ShogunSportFishing.com. And time for a break, Corey.
All right, we're going to be right back on the Let's Talk Hookup app and that Sports Grid Radio Network.
Wait, a 40-pound white sea bass off an inflatable Hobie kayak? Tell me about that.
I'm Logan from Fastline Kayaks on Mission Bay, and the whole story began when Ron Lane lent my parents some Hobie Mirage iTrex to put on their boat and take out to Catalina Island. That's when I borrowed the iTrex 11, threw it in my car, and drove down to Baja for a fishing and camping trip. Ended up landing a bucket list 40-pound white sea bass on the inflatable.
Dang, that sounds even better than our mammoth trip, when we packed up the kayaks in the car, snowboarded all morning, then drove down to the lakes, watched the iTrex, and fished for trout all afternoon.
Honestly, the iTrex inflatables are the ultimate fishing platform. From trout in the Sierras, calicos at Catalina, and white sea bass at the Sea Cortez, they can do it all.
And we've documented all these trips, so check out Fastlane Kayaks on Instagram to see more. And if you think you want a kayak, but you're on the fence, come down to our shop, or right on Mission Bay, and we would be happy to throw one in the water and let you give it a try. So call Fastlane Kayaks to schedule a demo today.
Give your boat the love it deserves and install a custom sea deck kit from Blue Seas Fabrication. Blue Seas is the West Coast's only certified sea deck fabricator and installer. Sea deck upgrades the look and feel of any boat, old or new. Sea deck non-skid decking adds comfort, convenience, safety, and value. Let the experts from Blue Seas Fabrication custom fit your deck, bridge, and interiors with stylish, durable, stain-resistant, and easy-to-clean sea deck. Check BlueSeasFabrication.com and enhance your fishing experience.
Lobster season is here. It's time to gear up with the best in the business. Promar, based in SoCal. Promar knows lobster and makes everything you need to catch these tasty critters. The Promar guys are hardcore lobster fishermen and have designed the most successful hoop nets and accessories on the market, including the Ambush Series Hoop Net line, the original hoop net designed for SoCal lobster hooping. Visit Promar on Facebook or on the web at promarahi.com.
Turner's Outdoorsman, Southern California's number one shooting, hunting, and fishing tackle retailer since 1971, is right in your neighborhood. Now with stores throughout Southern, Central, and Northern California. No one does it better. Turner's Outdoorsman brings you the best prices and selection, plus a knowledgeable staff that will help make your day on the water or in the field more fun. Stop by your neighborhood Turner's Outdoorsman. To find a location nearest you, check the web at turners.com and sign up for special deals and more.
Whether you're fly fishing, bottom fishing, net fishing, or just sitting on the water thinking about fishing, remember, a good day in the water starts with everyone wearing a life jacket. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
All right. Good morning. Welcome back to Let's Talk Hook Up. And all the lobster talks got me fired up.
Yeah, you ready to go? Are you ready to jump back into it? I know you were like the original lobster.
Well, I don't know about the original, but I mean, I was so darn into it that, it was a part of my life for many, many years.
Yeah.
In fact, we were talking yesterday, like, there was a point, you probably don't remember, Steve or Pablo, but the commercial and the sport opened up on the same day. And the warden in here, senior warden, couldn't remember that. I remember.
You're dating yourself.
I know. It's all the white hair.
Yeah, that's it. Well,
it's all good times.
Let's find out what's biting out there.
And it's sponsored by Gamakatsu. It's not all about hooks. There's so much more, including the new Gamakatsu fillet knives. And once you try one, you'll always want more. The new tools are always very special, including the Gamakatsu braid scissors made with a ceramic blade so they'll never rust. And you can see your local dealer or check Gamakatsu.com.
Going to start with an update from the Palmas de Cortez tuna shootout with our buddy Chris Moyer from East Smokies Curing and Cantina. Good morning, Chris.
Morning, Chris.
Pedro, Corey, buenos dias. I wanted to just give you guys a quick recap of the tournament yesterday. So if you remember, I predicted something around the 57-pound tuna range would come in. And until very late in the tournament, there was a 67-pounder firmly entrenched in first place. And at the last moment, the Si Senor came in with, I texted you, Pedro, I think it was 116-pound tuna. And that's Pioline. I think you remember Pioline, Pedro. He fished the J&B out of Palmas de Cortez for many, many years.
Yeah,
great fisherman. Anyway, lots of tuna coming in, but, you know, most of them were in the 20, 30, 40-pound range. So that 67-pounder was looking good until the last moment.
Oh.
And then, go ahead. I'm sorry.
They must have been heartbroken.
Well, you know how it goes. That's like, you know, you don't ever pop the tequila bottle until the last minute when you know you win.
That's it.
So, and then there was a 42-pound wahoo, which they took, you know, the wahoo pots, but the total winnings went to, including the car, went to the tuna because it was for the biggest fish. But anyway, exciting tournament out there, and, you know, another one behind us.
Yeah, how did Vaquera do?
Vaquera caught, you know, I think they came in with a boatload of tuna, like many boats. Most of the boats came in with just a bunch of tuna, but just, you know, not in the range you're looking for, you know, 20, 30 pounds. I think there maybe had a 40-pounder. But that was pretty much the story for most of the boats. It was a lot of tuna just, and, you know, that's what I kind of thought leading into it, that maybe something around that was in second place would have won it. But they found the one big one out there and won it by a landslide.
That's so cool. And you must be really busy at the Smoky processing there with all that tuna.
Oh, yeah. The crew's leaving late at night, so we got to pay some bonuses this quincena, but that's always a good thing. I love doing that.
That's a good problem to have.
Yeah. Well, great. Thanks for the update on that Palmas de Cortez tuna shootout. Of course, we'll be down there in a couple of weeks for our Let's Talk Hookup 30th annual Let's Talk Hookup. Palmas de Cortez.
Amazing.
Rich Top Fall Spectacular. Looking forward to seeing you, Chris. And, of course, we'll talk to you next Saturday.
Great, guys. Have a good day.
Thanks for that.
Bye-bye.
From there, we're going to go to Dana Point. Dana Wharf Sport Fishing. Talk to the man, Brian Woolley. Good morning, Brian.
Good stuff in there this morning, man. I know lots of the local HoopNet guys are getting fired up.
Right, yeah.
That break wall is going to be covered.
Ooh, on the imagine, sure. Huh?
Golden nugget.
Lots of flashing lights, for sure. Well, hey. You can feel it right in the air. The water temps crept down here a little bit, 67 to 68. Not that that's any major swing or anything, but, you know, today being the first day of fall, you know, the local bass fishing has still been pretty good here for us. The sand bass fishing has been in particularly quite a bit better than our kelp bass fishing the last couple of weeks for both our half and three quarter day guys. So we've been spending a lot of our time over the hard bottom, all that low relief structure and stuff like that, as opposed to back in the boat into the kelp on our three-quarter day trips. And it's been pretty good. It's kind of been worth the extra effort looking around the hard bottom with the sonar for these little spots of sand bass. Sinker setups fished well for those guys this week. Reverse dropper loops, Carolina rig stuff. You know, this fish has kind of been mid-water. You'll find it mid-water, and then as you kind of sit on it and chum, it'll come up to the surface. So, again, like I kind of reported last week, out of the gate, the sinker setup's been getting really well, and then as we sit, you guys are changing over to the fly line baits and catching some of that. And along with that fly line opportunity, we've had quite a bit of smaller bonito, like the 1 to 2 pound stuff zipping around. So some guys going home with 5 fish limit of that, which kind of helps with the surface action on that live bait. And a few more sheephead, you know, guys that want to stick with the sinker setups, you know, sometimes the best bait for those sheephead is a live sardine. We've seen some really nice ones coming off the live baits off the bottom, and a few halibut as well for both those half-day and three-quarter-day stuff. Out off the beach for us, the Fury, he's been on a nice little stretch of two-day trips this week. With the weather permitting, he's been able to get out to the banks there and catch some bluefin for his guys. And it's kind of been a, you know, pick-your-own-adventure kind of a deal with that weather. You know, if the guys want to tough it out and stick it out with that weather, they've been doing that, or it's been kind of retreat back to the island. And they've had some pretty good fish in there at Clemente. A little bit of yellowtail, some good rockfish opportunity. The bass fishing has been okay. Sea bass, had a nice little shot of bass this week. Some of that fish was a 30-pound grade, you know, good mid-grade sea bass. And, you know, fair action on the calico bass fish in there as well. So definite fall vibe in the air here for us, and you can feel it for sure. But anyways, looking forward to a new week here. Water's clean and nice and good little bits of current here. So I'd imagine we'll have probably a cookie-cutter week of what we went through last week here. Looking forward to what we have pushing through here next week. So give us a call if you want to hop on a trip. Our number here, 949-496-5794. Of course, you can hit us on the web at danawarf.com and make those reservations from there. And also just a reminder, you know, our Half Price Tuesday is back, you know, now that summer's over. So half day, three quarter day, and occasional twilight trip, you know, that's all up and on the table there if you guys want to save a few bucks on the trip.
How cool is that? I mean, Dana Wharf, I always say it. I mean, just family run, family oriented, and always willing to be friendly to their customers.
For the customers. Yeah,
yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, link it through the Let's Talk Hookup website. Just go link up on that Dana Wharf Sport Fishing website, and it'll take you all to that good information. Thanks, Brian. Appreciate it.
Brother, you got it. All right.
Talk to you next Sunday.
Cool, you know,
this is the full week of fall.
Roger. You know, I did forget to mention, I should throw it out there. You know, we do have LoopNet trips that will be on the books, too. So since you guys are talking lobster, we'll talk more about that next week. But anyways, have a great week, guys.
Yeah, you too. Yeah, for sure. Want to get through while we're waiting for Gundy, 213-432-1090. Let's jump into the phones, Corey.
Let's do it. Cliff Colm from Blossom Valley. Good morning, Cliff.
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm already super excited about the season, but my question is about lights. I've gone through a lot of different methods, including putting flashlights in plastic bottles. And where do you mount the lights? Do you drill a little hole in the buoy and put them, or what do you guys do? And what light do you use?
So we actually just did a video on this. If you go on our lobster resources page on our website, we explain how to rig up your float so that you can put the Promire lights in it. But what typically I do is I take a 3/4-inch drill bit, drill the top of the float, and then also drill the back, the flat side of the float, put a 4 to 6 ounce sinker on that flat side, and then put the light on top. And then what that sinker does is counterbalances the light. So if you don't put a sinker in your float and you just put the light in, what's going to happen is that float is going to twist on the line, and your light's going to be underwater. So you want to counterbalance that by putting a sinker in your float and then putting that light on top of the float. I know it doesn't make sense when I'm saying it, but if you watch the video on our Promar Lobster Resources page, you'll get it.
It'll more than make sense.
Yeah, exactly.
And then we have one guy in our life, one guy that was associated with Promar, that we have to thank for all that information.
Yeah, that's right. Jim Salazar.
Jim, the man.
He's the guy.
He wrote the book.
Exactly. Right. He wrote the book. He's the one that kind of helped us develop everything in the very beginning, and it's because of him that we have a lot of this great product for you guys.
Wonderful gentleman.
And as far as lights go, there's a multitude of ways to do it, but these Promar lights, and I don't know, you would agree, Pablo.
Oh yeah.
They make life so easy. You just color, I mean, and they go out, you know, they get dim and stuff, so you just bring a bunch and switch them out, and but they last, I mean, pretty much the whole season.
And
right?
The nice thing too is they come, when you purchase one, they do come with extra batteries.
Yeah.
So once you burn through that first set, you can throw that second set in.
How
there.
Long does it take to go through a set of batteries? A couple nights?
Honestly, I use one set of batteries the whole season.
The whole season?
Yeah.
The
important thing is that when you're done at the end of the night, when you get home, you open these up and you let all that moisture get out of them. If you just end up throwing them somewhere in your boat and then leaving them there for the next time that you go hooping,
they're eventually going to go bad.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. But if you take care of the stuff, it's going to.
So unscrew the top.
Yeah.
Just let them dry out.
Exactly.
And then put them back together.
Yeah.
That's the best way.
Yeah. They are watertight. They are waterproof for the most part. But, I mean, you're out in the ocean.
There's condensation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's moisture that gets in there. Just let that moisture get out at the end of the night.
Yeah, and it's always a good practice with anything that has batteries to open it up and
not keep the batteries in it. You keep the batteries in it, and they're always going to be trying to corrode.
Yes.
Take them out, and it's going to last a lot longer.
And save the battery life. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. All right. Hey, we're going to be right back. We're going to have more information, all this stuff going on, and maybe Gundy Gunderson to conclude our surf report, right? I can't wait. It's my favorite. We're going to be right back. Southern California Sport Fishing Voices. Let's talk.
Actually, we're going to wait because JP just sent us a little message there. Are we good to go, JP?
Okay, we're good.
All right,
technical
we are
issues.
Take a break. All right.
How about that? We're going to be right back on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Summit Gasoline at the San Diego Sports Arena is the place to fill up your car, truck, and boat with the lowest gas and diesel prices. Did you know Summit is also the place to get the lowest prices on gourmet ice and snacks for your trip? $3.99 for 25 pounds of ice, as many as you want. That's half the price of others. Plus, you get 100 pounds of ice free with a 30-gallon fill. Kirkland products at lower prices than the store that makes them. Plus, dozens of great snacks for just 89 cents. They can now accommodate 24 cars and trucks to fuel at the same time. Plus 12 diesel pumps. Easy in and outs, too. Step into the Summit Bistro and enjoy what Martha and her crew have for you. Fresh made burritos, sandwiches, salad, along with beer, beverages, and of course, always free ice. Summit Gasoline, low prices, friendly staff, free ice, and easy in and out with your boat and trailer at the San Diego Sports Arena.
Great fishing is what Seaforth Sports Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, Elgato Doe, Pride, Polaris Supreme, Tribute, Pacifica, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth Sea Watch in San Diego offer the finest half and full day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. To charters or schedule, check SeaforthLanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
Anyone that's been to the East Cape knows Smokey's Curing Company Cantina, the best food and drink in Los Barriles, and a fun place to hang out and watch your favorite sporting event. If you're lucky, you probably had Smokey's process your fish to take home. Their quality and service is top-notch. You'll see me at Smokey's Cantina hanging out with the owner, Chris, and my buddies when fishing in the East Cape. And we always send our fish to be processed at Smokey's, too. Now Chris has added one of the finest boats in the East Cape available for you to charter for a day or more of fishing. Vaquera. It's an immaculate 35 Cabo with a Sea Keeper and Captain Diego Romero, one of Baja's best. If you're looking for a great charter boat when fishing at Palmas, Playa, or other resorts, Vaquera, booked at BajaSmokies.com, should be your choice. So, when you're headed to the East Cape, be sure to stop by Smokey's Curing Company Cantina. Send your fish to be processed there and fish aboard the 35 Cabo Vaquera. Check BajaSmokies.com for more details.
Offshore fishing is on. Hi, this is Doug Kern from Fisherman's Landing Tackle. This is saltwater tackle professionals. For bluefin tuna and yellowtail, nothing beats the Shimano Talica, the pinnacle of lever drag two-speed reels. Shimano Speedmaster 2 is also an extremely durable, high-performance lever drag reel for the more budget-minded angler. Both the Talica and Speedmaster 2 feature Shimano's Hagani body to prevent misalignment of moving parts under the heaviest of load. For all your Shimano, visit us at Fisherman's Landing Tackle at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.